a phone line in the house where she was staying, but they didn't allow us to make the phone call. The two Estonians in the deportation team wondered aloud if they should leave us, children, in peace. But the Russian soldiers said, no, we have a plan, we can't miss our targets, so let's take the girls.
The operation was conducted on a secret order from the Kremlin.
The Council of Ministers has ordered a deportation from the Latvian, Lithuanian and Estonian Soviet republics of rich farmers and their families, families of armed bandits and nationalists, and families of convicted nationalist collaborators.
Labeled as socially alien elements, all these categories were targeted because Moscow feared that they might sabotage communist rule. At the same time, the deportees were expected to provide cheap labor, crucial to the Soviet Union's post-war recovery. Three Estonian girls were hardly a productive labor force, but the deportation targets set before the Soviet army were tough, and the soldiers were in a hurry. The Irish sisters were given just 1.5 hours to pack.
Strangely, we didn't panic. We collected whatever we could. When we were ready, Tia and I asked for permission to sing a song before we leave.
In Estonia, just about every occasion is marked with a song. The soldiers did not have the heart to refuse the girl's request.
Tia was a good singer, and I was learning the piano. So I played, and she sang Come Back to Sorrento in Estonian. This was the only time when we cried. Our little sister, of course, was in tears the whole time, but we only cried once.
The Irish sisters were driven to the railway station and loaded onto a cargo train with their belongings.
Everyone's luggage was on the floor, and people slept on their bags and suitcases. There was no toilet, just a bucket. But in between the daily stops, there wasn't anywhere to empty the bucket, and the stench was terrible.
Their journey to the Krasnoyarsk region in eastern Siberia lasted 2 weeks, enough time for Rita, Tia and Una to adjust to their orphan status. The girls assumed that they'd lost their mother for good, just like a year earlier they had lost contact with their father.
Tia and I used to talk and to make plans, how we would survive, go to work and support our little sister. We were tough, you see, we were children of war, not like young people today. Our little sister used to play with the other children in the carriage, and everyone used to sing our Estonian songs. One of our favorites was called I Want to Go Home.
On the 10th day of their journey, when the train was near its final destination, a miracle happened.
We were sitting in our carriage, and suddenly we hear someone calling our names. I can't talk. I'm sorry. We opened the door, and at first we did not recognize our mum. Her hair had gone all white, and she looked so old.
On the day of their deportation, Rita's mother had got home and learned that her daughters had been put on the train bound for Siberia. She got to the railway station just in time to squeeze into the last truck of the train full of deportees. For 10 days, whenever the train stopped, she would walk along the platform asking everyone if they had seen the girls. She had gone through 10 trucks before she found them.
The whole carriage was looking at us, and everyone was in tears. It was such a joy. You see, throughout that journey, we had had nothing but sadness. One woman had given birth in our carriage, and the baby died, and they threw the body out, just like that. And here was a mother reunited with her children.
Once they reached Siberia, the family were sent to work, first on a collective farm, then felling wood, and later in a gold mine. Eventually, their mother was able to support the family on her own, and the girls had an opportunity to go to a local school. Rita met deportees from all over the USSR and realized it wasn't just Estonians who had been targeted. Yet at her Russian school, Rita saw nothing but devotion to the communist cause.
In
1953, when Stalin died, I was at school, and all the teachers and all the students cried, except us. Why on earth did they cry? What moved them? Even today, I cannot comprehend the Russians' love for their tyrants.
After Stalin's death, Rita and her family were allowed to go back to Estonia. Their father had served his time, and the family was reunited. Rita Metsis now lives in Tallinn. Every year they have a reunion of her fellow deportees, and Rita has compiled a book of their memoirs. She spoke to me, Tina Newman, for Witness.
Sang noir à travers notre peau, on en cherchait pourtant la taille et la figure. En souvenir du chien qui, pendant l'agonie, sur ses boyaux fumants, eut l'amitié des mouches. C'était peut-être des milliers, ni batraciens, ni vers de terre ou libellules. Ou peut-être un seul dont la gueule sans mufle est nommée la nuit. C'est une étrange boucherie où l'on entre au printemps pour voir ce qui s'y fait et où l'on reste écartelé avec les autres. Au fond du bleu, il y a le jaune. Et au fond du jaune, il y a le noir. Du noir qui se lève et qui regarde, qu'on ne pourra pas abattre comme un homme avec des poings. Il y a encore quelque chose de la lueur du fond de l'œil. On pourrait encore caresser ce flanc. On pourrait encore y poser la tête et chantonner contre la peur. On dirait que les routes, que même les rues des villes, estiment leurs pas. Et c'est dans le respect qu'en est transmis le bruit, jusqu'aux étages où sont les hommes qui n'ont que faire.
Baby, let's...